Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Dalet, and we're right still on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beit. And let's just review. We've had three very important psukim that have defined our entire previous daf. So we started off with the pasuk of Zot Torat Ha'ola, Hi Ha'ola, Al Mogda, Al HaMizbeach. Now from there we understood that this is a general rule, that something that is Torat Ha'ola, something that is Roy for the Ela, Kivan She'ola Lo Tered. And the question is, what does that mean? So if it's Kol Ha'ola Al Mogda Al HaMizbeach, since it also says which is the next pasuk, so we were being Doresh, the Torah Ta'ola, as referring to Hi Ha'ola Al Mokda Al HaMizbeach Kol Halayla Ad HaBoker Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukadba. So what does that mean? It's a reference to not only the Eish al HaMizbeach, as it says, which is the Mogdah, but it also says Al HaMizbeach, which is not a reference to Al Mogdah. And then we have a third pasuk from back in Tetzaveh, which says Kol HaNogea BaMizbeach Yigdash, which is followed by the pasuk of Zeh She'Ta'aseh Al HaMizbeach Kvasim. So put that all together, and we ended up with five different shitot. And here are the five different shitot, which we need to remember in order to figure out today how Rabbi Avreish Lakish is going to put together the many different cases and find out where do we have one against four, and where do we have two against three, and where do we have three against two, and so on. Because each one of these is going to explain in a different way how he's medayik. So remember, from the pasuk of Al Mogda, which is a reference to the fire, that was Rabbi Yoshua's shita, that only things that arrive for the Eish al HaMizbeach, those are the things that remain on the Mizbeach if they were pasul, and they stay on. Whereas, it turns out that Rabbi Gamliel says, although that's true, it also says Al HaMizbeach. And Al HaMizbeach means anything that's roi for the Mizbeach, even if it's not roi for Ishim. And that means that even if you've got Nisachim, which go on the Mizbeach, but they can't be burned, so you've got Yayin, can't burn it, but it's Al HaMizbeach, isn't it? In which case, the Nisachim would also be considered to be Im Olu Lo Tered. So that was our original machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Now then we had Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says, well, we learn out from the Ola, the Zot Torat Ha'Ola, Ya Ola, that tells me things that are similar to the Ola. Just like the Ola is an independent korban, so too the only things that can go up on the Mizbeach are independent korbanas. So that would mean if I'm bringing a korban which drags along with it, actually Nesachim. So as we pointed out, the logic behind that is that the things that become Lachmosha Mizbeach, those are things which are meant to be presented to the Mizbeach. They were a gift to the Mizbeach. And these things are not really a gift to the Mizbeach. They're coming along because I gave the gift of a korban, and the Torah said, you have to bring this as well. But if I would gift it directly to the Mizbeach, then it would be like an oila. And then, in fact, it would also be remaining imalu lo yered. But if it's not similar to the oila, because it was just being brought agav the oila, and it's not an independent korban, so then I didn't gift it. If I didn't gift it, in that case, it would not be im ala lo tered, and it would be im ala tered. That's the difference. So those were our first three shitas. Then that was followed by the machlokas between, in a different brayta, of course, we have it in our Mishnah, but we had the machlokas with Rabbi Akiva on the one hand, and Rabbi Akiva argued with Rabbi Yossi Aglili on the other hand, about what the din is, and both of them agreed that the Ruya Lemizbeach is limited by the pasuk that comes after, which says, Zetaseh Lemizbeach Kvasim. The question is whether the word kvasim meant only animals and not ofot, or whether since the word ola includes ofot, because ola is also ola ta'ov, then the meaning of the kvasim would be kvasim and not minachot. So in other words, living, breathing organisms, as opposed to plant life. That was the additional pasuk that we were being medayik in. So, in which case, we end up with five different shitot. It turns out that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili are meida, that minachot are definitely out, but ofot is their machloket. Whereas our Mishnah, which involved Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, they had nothing against minachot being included. And as a matter of fact, it would even be possible, according to both Rabbi Shimon, in the event that the Mayayin was being brought bifnei atzma, and according to Rabbi Gamliel, who holds anything that's roi for the Mizbeach, it doesn't have to be roi for the Ishim on the Mizbeach, those two shitas would hold that the mincha, because of itself, would be perfectly okay. So let's take a look now at all of the different shitas. This is what Reish Lakish is going to do for us. He's going to take these five different shitas, which differ from each other only in very specific cases. It's not like a major difference, except from one end all the way to the other. He's going to show us the gradual distinction between various shitas. So I'm Reish Lakish. Okay, let's take the cases one by one. We'll start with a minchat nisachim. That means it's wine that you dedicated on its own to the Mizbeach. So if you're bringing a mincha bifnei atzmo, then everybody in the all out, meaning everybody, the divra kulon, besides Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, when we say divrei kulam, we mean divrei kulam in our Mishnah, as opposed to the shitas in the Braita. So the divrei kulam, according to all three shitas in our Mishnah, there's no problem with the minchas nesachim if it is a mincha that is ba bifnei atzmo. So if it's coming for itself and it was brought up, so then everybody would be meida in our Mishnah. Because if you're talking about a mincha, the part of the mincha that is roi for the actual bogda, part of the mincha which is roi for the eish, if it's that part, everybody is beida im olala teret. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, well, they say it says either if you hold it says kvasim, that's kvasim and no mincha. And if it says Eila, that only adds Ola Sa'ov, but it's still no Mincha. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, the Mincha is out. And therefore, Teiret, it has to be brought down off of the Mizbeah. Now let's talk about a case of a Mincha that is coming together with a Korban. Whoops. Now that adds Rabbi Shimon to the other Shitas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because Rabbi Shimon says if it's not an independent Korban, then it's Teiret. So there, we now have three against two, because over here, only Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, who say anything that's good for the fire, and the mincha part is good for the fire, that should be low teret. But according to everybody else, the divrei kulam, Rabbi Shimon says, well, it's not independent. Now, it's for different reasons. So Rabbi Shimon says it's not independent, so therefore, it's teret. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili say it's not similar to kvasim. And therefore, teret. So totally different things, but they come together in different cases. Let's talk about nisachim. In this case, we're talking about the wine part, not the mincha part. So the nisachim abaim bifnei atzmam. What about if it's the wine? So then everybody, except Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon in this case, would agree that they should be yeridu. Because wine is not roi for the mokade. Okay, that takes out Rabbi Yeshua. Wine is not similar to kvasim. It's not something that is a living organism. And that takes out Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So the only thing that it's good for is al hamizbeah. But according to Rabbi Shimon, also Al HaMizbeach is okay if it's independent. But over here it is independent because you brought it b'fnei atzmam. So the different mandiomrim have different reasons for saying that the wine is kosher, but the kosher in the sense of imola lotereid. But it turns out that we've got basically three against two that say under these circumstances, the wine is yoreid. And the only ones who hold that it should remain up is Rabbi Shimon, who focuses on dependence, and Rabbi Gamliel, who focuses on the word mizbeach. Now let's talk about the wine that comes together with the zevach. So now everybody, except Rabbi Gamliel, we've got four against one over here. Rabbi Shimon says, take it down. Why? Because it's by mima zevach and it's not independent. Rabbi Yeshua says, take it down. Why? Because it's not roi for the moked, so it's not al mokdat. Rabbi Yosi Aglile and Rabbi Akiva say, take it down. Why? Because it's not similar to kvasim. So the only one who says im ola lo tered is Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel says, I darshan the word al hamizbeach. Does it go al hamizbeach or does it not go al hamizbeach? If the wine goes al hamizbeach, then it belongs on the mizbeach. So that's the only shita, according to this, that would stay up there. So this is a very, very beautiful way for us to get all of the different shitas, bring an actual case, which is going to be a nafka mina between one sheet to the other. And it's really a lot of fun to learn. But the Gemara says you could have made that you could have taken a little piece of paper and pencil and figured that out yourself if you're 2 years old and up. I mean, take a look at Ori. She thinks this is a joke. So therefore, it's pshita. What's the big deal? Why does Rabbi Reish Lakish need to tell us how to split up the Mishnah properly? I mean, is there any chiddush over here? Says the Gemara, yes, there is. Because the part about the mincha, haba'a b'fnei atzma, was not all that clear. He wanted us to know that because I would have thought, can I? I mean, I know I could bring a mincha, obviously. I mean, we've got all these different minachot. But can I bring a minchat nisachim? Can I bring wine on the mizbeach? It didn't say anything about that in the Parsha Menachos in Vayikra. Oh, it talked about the mincha ma'afet tanur, and it talked about the mincha solet, and it talked about like all of these various different types of menachos that I'll bring, and how I'll have to be petitim. And so it doesn't say a word about wine. So therefore, I wanted to say this case, says Reish Lakish, to make it clear that you do have to include in your analysis just plain yayin that is coming as a gift to the Mizbeach, because I agree with Rava. Deyoma Rava, mitna deva da minchat nesachim b'chol yom, even though it doesn't seem to say anything about yayin at all in the story of the Menachos, unless, of course, I'm bringing it together with the korban as a minchas nesachim. But that doesn't mean that it only can be brought with a korban. Actually, a person is able to give a separate nedava, which satisfies the criterion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that it's the independence of the gift that makes it im ala lo irid. So, you really believe this? Reish Lakish went through that whole rigmarole just so we should figure out, by the way, you know, there is such a thing as a minchas nesachim that you can bring all on your own. I mean, you know, there are easier ways to say that. All he needs to say is, you can bring a minchas nesachim on its own. I mean, like, this is a little bit wild around beating around a bush. It's like, I mean, just say so. Nashmina Kirava, just say, you can bring a Mirchas Nesachim. I'm asking you what the point was. What is he teaching us about the way our Mishnah adds up the various Shitas together with the Braita? Why did he have to say that? Oh, you're right. Okay. You know what the real reason was? Because he wanted to tell us that this concept of Rabbi Shimon, the difference between a korban that's brought b'fnei atzmo or a korban that's brought together with a zevach. Let me ask you something. Suppose, we had this distinction earlier in the Masechet. Suppose you bring a mincha a week later. Remember, you're allowed to bring your minchas nesachim 10 days later, That's the difference. So what if you ended up, you didn't have it available at the time, and you owed it to the Mizbeach, and then you bring it when it's not together? Now, we learned out from the Pasuk that it says, Milchatam v'nizkehem, and it keeps repeating over and over again in all of those karbonos, Milchatam v'nizkehem, and so on, right? So why do we need all those repetitions? So from there, we learned out that no matter when you bring that mincha, you can even bring it the following night, you can bring it a week later, you can bring it a month later, the truth is, and that would also be fine. So I would think, okay, here it is. I already forgot about the carbon that I brought. I'm focusing on this mincha. So you might think that that would satisfy the criterion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that it should be independent. You would think, okay, so it's independent. Therefore, Reish Lakish wants to clarify that the nature of the independence is as we defined it. It was an independent gift. Not that it's becoming independently. It was gifted independently. And therefore, Reish Lakish wants to speak out that when Rabbi Shimon was talking about the Nisachim Abaim Bifnei Atzman, that did not include a Karban Nisachim that you were bringing a week later just because you were bringing it late. So in the case of Kamakiv Lulamachar Liyuma Achora, so you're bringing it the next day or whatever amount of time later, Shishaka Daita Chamina, you might have thought that that is considered to be as if it was brought separately, because it's not coming together, since it says in the pas, Hoil v'yomar mar, Minchatam v'nizkehem, Kimdubar is telling me, one tells me you can bring it in the night, and one tells me you can bring it tomorrow, and so on. So I would have thought, in the event that that happens, they're not coming together with the carbon, and therefore they should be considered the equivalent of Nisachim Habayim Bifnei Atzmam Damo, and Rabbi Shimon would be Moda, the Lo Yerdu. Kamashma, and that's why Reish Lakish wants to make it absolutely clear. If I show you how Rabbi Shimon ends up holding in this parsing that I did, in this little chart that I made for you, it turns out that no matter what the case is, it's only the gifting that's important and not the actual time that you bring it that's important. And now, we had in the beginning, HaMizbeach Mikadesh Et HaRa'uy Lo. But now it's time for the Mishnah to define what is HaRa'uy Lo. Give me some actual cases that is included in the din of Im Olu Lo Yerdu, with the introduction of our esteemed, another wonderful cameo performance by our very own Sir Redford. Elu im alu lo yerdu. And this is basically, if you have your own kapitan, you put him up there on that pedestal, even if he keeps trying to take himself down and put himself on a rocking chair, im alu lo yerdu. Once they go up, they cannot come down. They're stuck with the job. And as the Mishnah says, the same thing is true of the Mizbeach. Im alu lo yerdu. So what are those things that once they're put up on the Mizbeach? Tell me what you mean by a royal Mizbeach. Well, let's say it was Yotze, and it became Pasuk because you took it out of the Azara. Or let's say it was Tome. Or let's say you had a Machsheves Pigol of Chutz Lizmano. Or you had a Machsheva of Chutz Lemekomo. Or let's say you had a Zar, or the Psulim for the Kuhuna, the people that were not able to be Ove. Maybe they were Tameim, and they were Mekabel the Dam, or maybe they were Zorik the Dam. Now, in all of those cases, actually, you're not allowed to put it on the Mizbeach. But if you did, im alu lo yerdu, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the event that something was nishchat balayla, or the Dam spilled out before you were able to do the Zrika at all, or the Dam went out, then if it's Yotze on the Dam, so then even if it was put up, then it should be Yored, because in the event that you have things that were never, ever Ro'ui, then we're going to see where he learned this from, Those are things that should be your aid, and they're not included in Zot Torah Ta'olah to tell me anything at all. This weren't Ra'ui. So, in those cases, Im Alta Tered, and Rabbi Shimon says, actually, no, Lo Tered, because there's a machlokas here about the criterion of Zot Torah Ta'olah. Rabbi Shimon's shita is, Kol Shepisulo Bakodesh, anything which is pasul after it became kodesh. The kodesh is mekabla. It's only if the psul was before it ever became kodesh. So let's say it was a roveya, a nirva, a balmum before, a trefa. Those things would not be kodesh. But the examples that you brought were I shechted it, but it was belila, or I did the correct Kabbalah Saddam, but then the Dam was taken out. Those things, the Kodesh should be Makabo, and therefore Im Olu Lo Yerid. Ve'elu Shelo Hayupsulin B'Kodesh. Continues the Mishnah. Let me give you examples of things that are considered to have been not B'Kodesh, and therefore, as Rabbi Shimon said, Eina Kodesh Mikablo. Well, Haroveya, Hanirva, Hamukta, Haneevad, Haetnan, Vamechir, Vakilayim, Vatrefa, Vayotse Dofenu, Vale Mumin. So these are all things whose psul is not a psul that takes place after it was already part of the Aveda. If something was Roveya Venirva as the live animal, it was used for sexual purposes, or it was used for Avodah Zarah, for Mukta, which means as something that was going to be brought as a korban for Avodah Zarah, was actually Nevad itself. It itself was served as an Avodah Zarah. Or it was payment for a whore, or it was Mechir, or it was actually, it had a mixture in its genes of a different species, or it was a trefa, or even if it's perfectly okay, but it was delivered through a Caesarean, since the Torah specifies asher tivaleid, it has to be something that is born normally and not delivered by Caesarean, or balimunin. These are all things that happen before it gets anything to do with the Mizbeach, and therefore it's not kosher. Rabbi Akiva says, now wait a minute, let's not jump to conclusion. If you're talking of Bali Mumin, that's considered to be even Psula B'Kodesh. Rabbi Hanina Sagana Koini Mumer? No, I can tell you that I was there in the Beis HaMikdash. I was the Sagan, and I can tell you that when an issue like that ever came up, he would take it away from the Mizbeach, and it was not like Rabbi Akiva claims. Now we're going to see, of course we discussed it before, remember that Rabbi Akiva was referring to Dokin Shiba'ayin or various things that were kosher for Ofas. We've talked about this many times because this Mishnah has been in our thoughts and mind for a while. Now, there's another thing you need to know, that even though we said im alu lo yerdu, that doesn't mean that if they were pokin, we'd put them up again. That's not true. If they're on the Mizbeach, they get to stay on the Mizbeach. When we say Meselach Moshe Mizbeach, we don't mean that we treat them like anything else that was brought up on the Mizbeach, such that if they fell down, we put them back up. They are only bide avad. In these extreme circumstances where they're up there, we're not going to take him down. But we're also not going to put them up. V'chulam shalu chayim l'rosh ha-mizbeach, yerdu. And what we entertained yesterday, that maybe a live animal, we were learning from the word kvasim, that we spoke about in the Braita, the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, and we entertained for a moment, perhaps it means literally kvasim. No, if they actually were brought up while they're alive, that is not considered to be a presentation to the Mizbeach. And if it was shechata, if you went ahead, though, and you shechted it, so then you can burn it on the Mizbeach as long as it's not taken down. So if you do the skinning, the hafshata ta'or, and you do the butchering for the oila, you can be mafshit, yinatcha bimekoma. We'll see exactly what that's referring to in the Gemara. So now remember, this is a machlokas we spoke about before. According to Rebbe Yehuda, zot Torat Ola, He Ha Ola. So this Zot is this and not something else. He is this and not another. Ha Ola also means this Ola, the Ola, as opposed to the other Ola. That's the second one of the Ha Ola. Because remember, the first He Zot Torat Ha Ola is a very important general limud that we've also discussed many times. All korbanot are brought after the Ola of the Tamid Shel Shachar, because Ha'ola means the very first thing that you bring. It's like the man. So this is Ha'ola. This is the Ola, the one that you have to bring first. And if not, then you're not to bring your other korbanos. Okay, so those are three very specific, three miyutim, Tainas Reb Yehuda. And that means there are three specific things that we're not going to include in this concept of Zot Torat Ola Im Ola Lo Yered. Three things I don't mean to include. And those are the three things everybody's going to discuss. Why dafka those three things? How did you know? I mean, it doesn't say which three things. How do you, Reb Yehuda, know? That we'll talk about. But I'll tell you what those three things are. And those are the three things that I mentioned in the Mishnah. And I said those things Im Olu Yeredu. What are those three things? Well, Prat L'Nishkata B'Laila, if it was shechted during the night, or the dam spilled out to the ground before you got a chance to actually be mekabel it, or in the case of Yotze Dama Chutzla Kilayim, the dam was nifsal b'yotze because you took it out of, remember, we use the word kilayim as a substitute because it's the mocker at the time of the Mishkan, we had curtains, so we continued to call the actual mechitza curtains. So if it went out of the mechitza of the Azara, those are the three cases. Rabbi Shimon says, that's not how I determine the differences. Here's how I read the pasuk. It says, Zotarata Ola. So it says Ola, I would say, okay, that means an Ola or whatever is being brought up that's kosher. And the Alolak Shira. How do I know to include even those things that Rabbi Yehuda denies? How about to include things like Nishkata Balayla? How about to include a case of Nishpar Dama? How do I know to include a case of Yatsa Dama Chutzla Kilayim? How do I know about Alan, that it was left overnight and was Nifsal Belina? How I know, how about cases where not the Dam, but the Emurim? Maybe were Yotze. How do I know something that became Tame? How do I know if the Kohen had a Machshava of Shkita, or the Sheikh had a Machshava of eating or Makrivim Mechutz L'Zmano or Chutz L'Mikoma, which would be a Psul of Pigol? Or how do I know cases where Kiblu Psul in the Zarku at Dama? Or how do I know if you put the Dam in the wrong place, Hanitanim L'mata? Shinitanam L'mala. Or L'mala Shinitanam L'mata. I'm giving you all the cases I can come up with. How about dam that was meant to be put on the Mizbeach HaChitza and you put it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi? How about dam that was meant to be put on the Mizbeach HaPnimi and you put it on the Mizbeach HaChitza? How about a Pesach and a Chatas that you did the Shkita Shalol Lishma? These are things that are totally possible. Now, how do I know that all those things are included in Zot Torat HaOlah to be marba them that im alu lo yered and they were mekudash hayedei Mizbeach minayin? Talmud Lomar, Torat Ola. But then we use that word Torat Ola. It's a very broad term. And that's the whole idea of Torat, is that it shows us the breadth and perspective of all of the various issues. So why would I refer to specifically over here Torat Ola? I mean, that's a very rare thing to use the word Zot Torat, unless it's coming to tell me a broad perspective which is inclusive. So the inclusivity means over here, Riba Torah Achat L'chola Olim. Don't give me these artificial distinctions that you, Reb Yehuda, have come up with. Im Alu Lo Yerdu. Yocho Shanim Arbe Now, says Rabbi Shimon. Now that doesn't mean just because I'm a liberal that I'm ready to tolerate anything, you know. I mean, I see Trevor's looking over there with approval on Rabbi Shimon. Just because I'm a liberal, I don't say anything. You might think I should include also things like Roveya, Nirva, Muktzah, Nevad, Etnan, Mefir, Kilayin, Trefa, Yotze Dofen, the very cases that we spoke about in the Mishnah, Talmud Lomar, that's why it says Zot Torah Tola, this and nothing else. Oh, man, that was pretty nifty. But I don't understand. Give us a whole list. You don't tell us any criterion. Like, so what in the world are you thinking? Umara ita l'rabot et elu v'lahotzi et elu. How it gives you the right to pick out the ones that you like and the ones that you don't like? That's clearly racism, sexism, and God knows what else. So what allowed you to do that? Well, I'll tell you. Look. The Torah on the one hand says Zot Torah Tola, very inclusive. On the other hand, it says not overly inclusive. Zot Torah Tola. Okay, so that means we're being told that we are supposed to come up with the proper criterion for what is the Torah Tola. So I use my brains. Marbaniyat Elu Shayap Sulan Bakodesh. Therefore, I say I include those things which makes sense to include because whatever went wrong with them went wrong with part of their actually being Kodesh. And that makes sense if they're already part of the Beis HaMikdash and they're part of the Kedusha. So then I understand that I should include it. Now, remember we had a big machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, what that word means, Pisulan Bakodesh. Does Pisulan Bakodesh mean literally while they were in the Beis HaMikdash, or does Pisulan Bakodesh mean something that has to do with their actual level of Kedusha? So Rashi was always learning that it means literally Pisulan Bakodesh, what he seems to be learning. But, I mean, the truth is that, as Tosfos points out, the concept of the Pisulan Bakodesh is actually something that has to do with the Psul that is a function of its being Kodesh. And then and only then it could actually have become Pasul. That's how Tosfos looks at it. And so it would be something that was Nifsala after the Shkita took place or after whatever particular type of Kedusha we're talking about, but not just because, I mean, because otherwise, look, I mean, you can't tell me that by definition, something cannot become Pasul as a Trefa after it's Kodesh. I mean, that's not the point. Of course it could. I mean, like, what happened if something happens to it there, or something shouldn't be Nevad because it's already in the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, is that might be possible, but what about Ruvia V'Nirva and so on? So these things could have happened. So therefore, the idea over here is after there's an actual Kedushas Haguf on it. Okay, which is different than the way Rashi has learned. That we've spoken about before. Okay, so then that would be my criterion, and everything would make sense, says Rabbi Shimon. Now, what about Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, does Rabbi Yehuda literally mean, I mean, he said there's only three things that we're excluding. So you're telling me that all those other cases that Rabbi Yehuda says we would put on the Mizbeach? So, I don't quite understand. We know that we don't put those things on the Mizbeach. So where would he get that from if he only had the three miyutim? Because Rabbi Yehuda, he learns out that there were other things that indeed are not included. And he says there's another basis for it. So I have these three miyutim, but I'm still meida that there are certain things that are going to be remaining on the Mizbeach, which we spoke about, some where it happens before the Zrika and some after. Now, where did he get that from? So here is his Shita, as it appears in the Braita. Mipnei ma amru lan bedam kasher. Why did they say that if the dam remains above, beyond its time, it's brought, if it's put on the Mizbeach, then it becomes kosher? Well, that's because we know that lan is kosher. Beimurim, all right, now remember this shita that we've explained many times on Libra de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda understands that the pasuk is showing us that the things which have a place, somewhere in which that particular thing was acceptable for the Mizbeach, that means that the broad concept of Torah Ta'olah, which he's saying, Zot Torah Ta'olah, is exceedingly broad. I only have three miyutim. But just because I only have three miyutim doesn't mean that I don't need to define what is meant by that Torah Ta'olah. So therefore, I say that the idea is, if it's something that any point in history or in any particular specific situation that thing would be acceptable, then it's reasonable to say that the Torah is willing to accept it in a pinch where we have im olo lo yered. But if such a thing was never acceptable at any point in history or under any circumstances, then it's not reasonable that it should be included because it's not part of the whole concept of olah, you see? That's my way of looking at this pasuk. So I'll show you what I mean. Let's say I said lan is kosher b'dam. Yes, because you're allowed lechatchila to bring up the emurim of that carbon all night long. Well, b'dam was already pasul. So you see that leaving things overnight is not a fundamental psul. It doesn't apply to emurim. So therefore, I say in a pinch, it won't apply to dam. Okay, why is lan itself that if you keep it overnight, even after the nighttime, how do we know that that's kosher? Because you're allowed to continue to eat the carbon shlamim for 2 days. So you can't tell me the end of the night now is going to pass on anything. Lan is kosher, again, lechatchila, when it comes to eating a shlamim. Okay, but what about yotzei? What do you mean, what about Yotzei? Well, you think there was always a Beis HaMikdash and all the Karbonos were brought in a place where they could be brought out and puzzled? There were all of those years that the Bama was kosher, and over there you brought your carbon wherever the heck you wanted to. So that means that Yotzei is not a fundamental issue. If it's a Bama, it's meant to be Yotzei. I mean, Yotzei. The concept of Yotzei is absurd when it comes to a Bama. Well, what about Tomei? Well, what if the whole tzibur is tamei for the carbon pesach, huh? What's the din over there? The tamei is mutter for avodas tzibur. So, since there is a particular circumstance where that's acceptable, it's acceptable over here in a pinch. Well, what about chutz lizmano? I mean, is chutz lizmano is never kosher, meaning a makshav of chutz lizmano, that is to say, a pigal thought, I'm going to be zorik this dam, or I'm going to be eating of this carbon. Chutz lizmano? Not true. Chutz lizmano, a aveda chutz lizmano, is very important in a particular circumstance. What's that? Well, remember, in order for a carbon to be pigol, it has to be pigled properly. Yes, indeed, it's a 100% pigol. If you mix anything else that would possibly the carbon in it, you would wreck the pigol. So for pigol purposes, it's very effective to do the everything chutz lizmano. And chutz lemekomo? Chutz lemekomo is the same din as chutz lizmano. I mean, that we learn out from shlishi, pigolu. I mean, it's the same din. So there it's hukash lechutz lizmano. Well, what about bzarim that are going to be mekabel adam? Or psulim, that are mekabel adam? Well, yes. What if we're talking about psulim, kohanim, or tmeim? Are they kosher in a pinch when it comes to a carbon tzibur? Absolutely. Then we don't need a pinch. So if they're kosher when the tzibur is bringing a carbon, that means in a pinch, even where that's not, and it was already put up to the mizbeach, it is kosher. That's my point. And you don't need this defining thing that comes of your own mind about Sula B'Kodesh. The point is that the Torah itself has indicated that these things in certain times and places are permissible, and because of that, even in other times and places, if you're in a pinch, then bidi avad im olu lo yered. Hey, wait a minute. I mean, how in the world are you learning something that is shelo be'achsher midavar she'achsher? I mean, it sounds ridiculous to me. You're going to tell me that you're supposed to be eating the meat of the shlamim for 2 days, and therefore, if I did what was wrong and I kept the emurim for the second day, it would also be malalotaret. You can't learn out something that's the way you're supposed to do it to something that was done wrong. You don't learn from a bummer to something that is meant to be in the Beis HaMikdash. That sounds crazy to me. it is crazy. But that's because you're thinking that that itself would be enough of a svara to allow me to leave it on the Mizbeach. Did I ever say that? I said, the Torah talked about Zot Torah Ta'olah, and that is a tremendous inclusive word. I'm only coming to define how far would you go in inclusivity. This, I'm not making this up. So I'm saying, if it's something that Torah ever was inclusive about, do I have a choice? I'm going to argue because you come along and you tell me, yeah, but here it's posel, there it's kosher. I'm telling you that Torah's saying, even though it's a pinch, keep it up there. That's the Zot Torah Ta'olah, right? So I'm just coming to explain the Zot Torah Ta'olah. Tana Azot Torah Ta'olah Riba Samachli. Obviously, I'm relying everything because it's based on that pasuk. So I'm looking for some similar case where something would be in that same set of issues that would be acceptable. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, let's say that you shechted a behema of Kodesh, and it was Balayla, which you're not allowed to do Balayla, and you shechted it properly inside of the Azara, and then you went outside, and you were ma'ale that korban b'chutz. Now, I would say, you know what I would say? I would say maybe we should wait for tomorrow, because this already starts sort of a long discussion, and we'll wait for the appropriate time.